Please join me in prayer. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Do you know anyone who is blind, not because they can't see, but because they're so attached to their own ways they refuse to see? In the scripture lesson that Barbara, Tom, and Joe read together this morning, Jesus healed a man who had been born blind. But the people who could see all along were really the ones who were blind. They didn't see the blind man as a fellow human being who they might help. They wanted to know whether it was a trick. And they were upset that Jesus had broken their religious laws by healing on the Sabbath. In the chapter before this, Jesus had announced, "I am the light of the world." And for the rest of that chapter, the Pharisees, who were the religious leaders of the day, argued with him. The argument ended with them picking up stones to throw at Jesus for what they considered to be blasphemy. So Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, and immediately he met the blind man. This is a healing story, but it's mostly about light and darkness, blindness and seeing. And there are two kinds of blindness in the story. One is physical blindness, where your eyes literally don't work. That takes up only two verses of the story. The other 39 verses deal with the controversy over who Jesus was and what happened to the blind man. Was this a hoax? And who was this who healed the blind man? The story begins with a genuine question from the disciples. Who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? At that time, people believed that if you suffered in any way, it was because of sin. But how do you make sense of someone who is blind from birth? Is it possible to sin before you are even born? Or was God punishing the parents? Who was to blame for this? The question assumes the world is organized around sin and punishment. But Jesus did not see the world that way. And immediately, he dismissed the question. The man's blindness had nothing to do with sin. Nothing. He was born that way so that God's works could be revealed in him. No matter what shape we enter the world, no matter how different we are or how different we look or feel from other people, no matter how difficult our lives may be, we can reflect God's glory. And that's what we're here for. Of course, you want to know why bad things happen. We want reasons so we can reassure ourselves it won't happen to us. And sometimes there is a direct connection between our actions and suffering. If someone walks carelessly in front of a moving truck, they may get hit. If a pregnant woman takes drugs, she can damage the fetus. Sometimes parents are responsible for the suffering of their children. But often, there's no connection between what people do and how they suffer. Jesus was not interested in assigning blame. He wanted people to look deeper, to see and celebrate God at work. And so for us, yes, we have to admit our sins and failings, and Lent is traditionally a time to focus on that. But the point is not to beat ourselves up for not being good enough. The point is to pay attention to what God is doing in our lives. Are we able to respond to God's love and the leading of the Spirit? And can we see those who need healing and reach out to help? Now, some people are cautious when it comes to recognizing the work of God. After Jesus healed the man, the neighbors began to ask, "Is this the same man we know, or just someone who looks like him?" Even when he insisted, "I am the man," they kept asking, and you can't blame them for wondering. When something so unusual happens, you have to check the facts. If I were to tell you that I was born blind and was healed, you'd want to ask a few follow-up questions. Even the Pharisees were asking honest questions at first. They couldn't agree among themselves whether Jesus was legitimate or not. But as the story unfolded, you see they became increasingly close-minded and blind. They didn't want to accept what they heard and saw. And by the end of the story, you realize that the Pharisees, who claimed to see, were the ones who were truly blind. Three times in the story, the blind man admitted his ignorance. When the people asked him where the man was who healed him, he said, "I don't know." When the Pharisees asked him whether Jesus was a sinner, he answered, "I don't know." And when Jesus asked him, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" he answered, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" But the Pharisees spoke with certainty. They said, "This man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath." They also said, "We know this man is a sinner." And they closed by questioning the healed man's integrity. "You were born entirely in sin, and you're trying to teach us?" It's like saying, "You have no right to talk to me about that." They didn't want to see or understand, so they called the man a sinner and drove him out of the synagogue. This is spiritual blindness. And it's what Jesus was talking about when he said, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind." When we think we know, when we think we see, but refuse to recognize what's in front of us, then we are spiritually blind. Most of us are blind without knowing it. Last year, I attended a conference at Princeton Seminary sponsored by two Asian groups of the PCUSA. Suni was there with me. There were only about two or three non-Asian people there. So the participants felt free to say what was really on their minds. And they talked about white people. White people do this, white people do that, and they mentioned white privilege. I realized that I had been blind to some racial tension. I didn't argue with them or take it personally, but I recognized that their experience of life was different from mine. White people tend not to notice white privilege. That's because we're not likely to experience insults, disadvantages, or rejection because of our race. There are many things we just take for granted. When we walk into a store, we're greeted with a smile instead of suspicion. If we win an academic award or get a promotion on the job, people don't wonder whether we cheated to get it. If we need help, we don't have to worry that people will think we're trying to rob them if we go to someone and ask for help. If we go for a run, we don't have to worry that the police will think we're running from a crime. That's not the case for everyone. Race is still an issue in this country, even in our little towns, as is fear and prejudice against gay people or someone who is in any way different. And when we refuse to see it, we are blind. Everyone has blind spots, things we don't see or recognize because of our limited experience or because we're attached to our own worldview. What are your blind spots? It's hard to know, because if you know them, then they're not blind spots. The trick is to be able to admit we may be blind and be open to learn something new or even change. If we can't do that, then we're like the Pharisees. The Pharisees wanted to protect the system they were comfortable with. They had the power and the authority. And when someone came along and challenged their system, showed God working in a new and a different way, they didn't want to see it. But the blind man was humble and admitted his lack of knowledge, and he could see Jesus for who he was. For some reason, this reminds me of some of the conversations on the Leonia listserv these days. For those of you who don't live in town, the listserv is a website where residents and friends can post questions, comments, share information, and advertise events. But some people argue endlessly over politics and the fire department, teacher salaries, and other local issues. And these are important issues that we need to know what's going on with them. But sometimes you get the feeling that people are saying the same thing over and over, and people are more interested in defending their point of view than considering other people's concerns and finding a solution. Come to think of it, this reminds me of national politics as well. God can work with or heal anyone who knows even dimly that they are blind. But God can do nothing for those who insist that they see everything clearly. According to Jesus, anyone who claims to see is still in sin. Now, after the sermon, we will sing the famous hymn, Amazing Grace, and the line, I once was lost, but now am found. I was blind, but now I see. The person who wrote that hymn was a slave trader who had a dramatic conversion experience, where he suddenly realized what he was doing to other human beings. But most of us should probably sing, I once was blind, as a prayer for God to keep opening our eyes, because seeing is not a one-time event. May we pray for God's amazing grace to be with us, and may we open our eyes to God's presence in our midst. Amen.